when I'm feeling low. And my heart is weak. I know you have the strength. You will carry me when I'm broken down and I'm filled with grief. I know you're far beyond what my mind can see. When I'm feeling low and my heart is weak, I know you have the strength.
You have the strength.
You will carry me.
Come on and carry me.
And when I'm broken, I'm filled with grief, I know you're far beyond.
You are far beyond
what my mind
conceives.
I know you're far and as I look beyond the cares of life, I can feel your heart through the pain and strife. And as I look beyond the cares of life, I can feel your heart. As I look beyond the cares of life, I can feel your heart.
Hey.
I feel you offer life.
Yeah.
I can feel your heart.
Yeah.
I feel you. The water of life, when I was sinking, you lift me up out of the night, down to the water, sweet water. The water of life, when I was sinking, you lift me up out of the night, down to the
out of the night.
How can it be?
Hallelujah. this love overtake me? How can it be? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I feel this love overtake me.
Yeah.
How can it be? Hallelujah.
I feel this love. As I look beyond the cares of life, I can feel your heart. Through the pain and strife, and as I look beyond the cares of life, I can feel your heart. I feel you offer life.
Good morning, church. Good to see you all. It's so good to be here. Praise the Lord. If you can hear my voice, come on in and grab your coffee. And you know, this is a privilege. I'm reminded of that every Sunday. It's a privilege to be able to be here together worshiping the Lord. We don't believe that there's anything like a coincidence or an accident. So you are here for a reason. God has brought you here for a reason. So we say thank you. We say welcome to all those joining us online. A reminder that if you're away, traveling, or if you're home sick, that it's a great tool that we have where you can join us live via our live stream. Just go to our website, trinityallenwood.com, and just click on where it says watch live. You can also find us on YouTube under Trinity Allenwood, Trinity Bible Church in Allenwood, New Jersey. And so it's a good way to stay connected. But praise God that we get to be here together this morning to worship. We're going to worship God in many ways through music in just a moment, singing songs of praise to Him because He is worthy. And of course, we worship God by opening His Word and through prayer and through fellowship. And we will end our service today with communion, another way that we bring focus and attention to the Lord as we remember His sacrifice on our behalf. So that will be at the end of our gathering today. For our call to worship reading this morning, it's taken from Psalm 61. The Psalms are a great book to turn to when you are looking to revitalize your prayer life. You know, your time with the Lord in prayer, sometimes as believers, we can feel it gets maybe a little stale, or we're not, our mind can kind of wander sometimes when we're praying. And I would encourage you to go to the Psalms, because the Psalms, most of them written by King David, you know, are just heartfelt discussions with God, calls and cries for help, just out and out praises to God for His goodness, for His strength, and His protection. And so the Psalms are a wonderful book for us to use as believers, these ancient songs, to connect with God. And so that's why I often will read from the Psalms as our call into worship. You know, because we've all had different kinds of experiences this week and even this morning, but now we have gathered to bring our focus and attention to the Lord and to His Word. And so here's what it says in Psalm 61. So listen to these words as I read them. And may they be a call in your heart to worship God this morning. Hear my cry, O God, and listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day. I love that one line. He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. See, he's saying, God, would you bring me to a place of peace and protection and safety that I cannot get to myself? You picture King David, even in his great travails, like needing to climb up to a high place on the top of a rocky hill, a place that he can't get to on his own. He's saying, God, just take me to that rock. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I, a place that we cannot bring ourselves to. We need to rely on the Lord because he is our refuge. He is called our strong tower, and we have the great privilege of being able to dwell in his presence and take refuge in him as he leads us to a rock, to a place that is higher than I. Amen? Why don't we stand and pray together? Father, thank you for leading us to those safe places, especially in times of difficulties. In times of doubt and insecurity, you lead us to a place of sure footing, of a firm foundation, solid ground, and that is only in you. God, you are our refuge and our strength. You are a place that we can dwell in safety. We are invited by you to hide in the shadow of your wings. God, thank you that we can even picture it, a place where we can go to all the time, but especially, Lord, when we may be afraid or hurting, Lord, that you invite us back. You call us back to take refuge in you. Father God, lead us to that place now, even in time of worship, that place that is greater than ourselves, that we would turn our focus away from our issues and our concerns and our thoughts, and that we would just turn our eyes to you. And we pray these things, Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, and we do so through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And to that we say, amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
Father's love for us, how vast. Across the pages of time, He who made every living thing, behold Him. He who heard humanity's cry, left His throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us, behold Him. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold Him. Dined with sinners and saints, healed the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now He is in our midst. Behold Him. He who chose a criminal's end, pay with blood to settle our debt. Buried death as He rose to life. Behold Him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold Him, Jesus.
Father God, you have no beginning and no end. You are our Ancient of Days, and your kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. You are on your throne, and God, we are now standing before your mighty and matchless throne of grace. What a great honor it is, a privilege, Lord. And we are thankful for a time of worship where we can freely let you know how much we love you and how thankful we are for who you are and what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God, we continue to give you blessing and honor this morning. It is all due to you. And God, we ask your continued blessing on our time as well. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say good morning to somebody next to you. Let's make our way back to our seats. We praise God for a good time of worship, praising the Lord together. Right, brother? It was so good. It's good to reconnect with people that you haven't seen in a while. It's so good. That's why it's important to come on out and to be here at church to reconnect with family, friends, and those who are fellow believers, those who are seeking after the Lord. It's good. We need that encouragement, right? We need to be encouraged. And so our time of worship and then fellowship can be so encouraging to us. So praise the Lord for that. So again, thank you for joining us. And it's good to be here. I just want to mention a few things, what we call church life, kind of get caught up on where we are in the life of Trinity. Some things that we have to look forward to, and then we'll hear a word of testimony about our outreach last week. But just want to mention a few things. So, as you've been hearing, next Sunday is March 10th, and we will be joined by the women of the Hoving Home, and this is a residential recovery program. It lasts a number of months, and they are up in North Jersey. And they've been here before, and so one of the things they do as a mission and a ministry is they have a choir, and the women come out to different churches, and kind of they share some worship, and they sing, and then they have testimonies. And so they will be here next Sunday during the service, and they will lead with their choir and have some time of worship, and then their testimonies. And so it's very powerful to just hear how God is working in the lives of these women and the powerful mission and ministry of the Hoving Home. So Hopefully you can join us for that. And that is, again, next Sunday. And then also next Sunday is our monthly luncheon. And it's themed this month. It is our International Fellowship Lunch. And so I know some of you have been already telling me what it is that you're going to bring, but we just ask that you would bring something that represents your heritage and your background and maybe something special. What was that? Ramen noodles. Great. So now that everybody's going to want to come out for that, right? So that'll be perfect. So if some of you can make something other than ramen noodles, so we can kind of round out the whole thing. But that is next Sunday right after service. And, you know, we love to do that once a month. And so it's normally the first Sunday of the month, but we moved it so that we could have the women of the Hoving Home join us. So they will be here during the service to bless us and then stay afterwards and join us for the luncheon. So that is next Sunday. So make sure you mark your calendars. On Saturday, March 16th, so that's the week after, we have our annual egg hunt. And so that's run by our Trinity Kids Ministry. And last year we had a great turnout. And so we wanted to do that again. It's kind of backed by popular demand. A lot of people and friends of kids in the church have been asking when we were going to do that again. So that is Saturday morning, March 16th, 10:30 to noon. You see all kids are invited up to age 5th grade. And it's free, of course, as always, but we just ask that you would register. If you could, just go to our website to the events page and you can register so we get an idea of how many people are coming. We'll put that on your calendar. That is Saturday, March 16th, 10:30 a.m. On March 17th, so that's in 2 weeks from today, we'll have a very special guest speaker, Scott Schwartz. He's one of our missionary partners. He has brought the word to us many times before, but he is local, so it's a real blessing as a church to support local and global missions work, but we have a local missionary partner, and so he will come and bring the message for that morning, give you some updates on what Life in Messiah as an organization is doing, especially to help their workers in Israel during this time of war, and he will bring a message from the Word of God for that day. So that will be on March 17th, coming up in a couple of weeks. On the 21st, this is actually on a Thursday this time, we have an outreach coming up. Our missions team is going. They only allow a few people to come in for this, but we wanted to let everybody know so you could be praying and to hear what the missions team is doing. We try to do something at least once a month, and usually we can open it up to a bunch of people. This one is kind of limited, but it's our first time going to serve with lunch break. It's sort of a food pantry and soup kitchen, and has developed into much more than that, but that is located in Red Bank. Some of you, I know, have heard of that before. But a small team of people from Trinity, from the missions team, are going to serve there for a few hours on Thursday to help meet with them. And so it'll be a good opportunity for us to branch out and do some more local ministry and outreach. And so if you can be praying for us for that and always for our missions team, but that's coming up on Thursday the 21st. And Good Friday is coming up quick as well. If you know, Easter is early this year. It's March 31st, so of course we do have our traditional Good Friday service, 7 p.m. right here at Trinity. Again, we'll be joined by the Allenwood Church this year. They will come and join us here for that evening, and they appreciate that. They don't traditionally have one, and so you know that Pastor Dave Berkey from the Allenwood Church and I are close friends, and we record a podcast every week, and so we invited him again, and so they'll be coming out to join us for our Good Friday service, where we remember the Lord's sacrifice. Because remember, in order to get to Sunday, you have to go through Friday. And so that will be on Good Friday at 7 p.m. right here, and joining us will be the Allenwood Church. And then, of course, actually, this is a new thing that I wanted to mention to you. But on that same day, Good Friday, at 1 p.m., there's an event at Shiloh Baptist Church. I told our friend Pastor Mike Morgan of Shiloh Baptist that we would mention it. But if any of you are interested, it's during the day. So if you're available, it's a very special service, and it's called the Seven Last Words of Christ. And so they take the last phrases or statements of Jesus from the cross, seven of them, and just share a brief message or devotional about each one. So that begins at 1 o'clock, and that's from being sponsored by the Shiloh Baptist Church right there in downtown Manasquan. So if you're interested and you're available, please go. Everyone is welcome, but they're doing that again this year, and I told our good friend Pastor Mike that I would pass the information along. Right, so that's the afternoon of Good Friday, and then we will have our service here in the evening. That's a unique kind of service where different people, different leaders within that church will be sharing just a few thoughts about each of Jesus' seven statements from the cross, a traditional thing to do on a Good Friday. And so I encourage you, if you're available, to go and do that. And then, of course, on March 31st, that Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. And praise God that we can celebrate, as we were doing before in our worship songs, we can celebrate the risen Christ each and every day. We don't have to wait until Resurrection Sunday, but it is March 31st, and so we will have our special service and a different message for that morning. And we will also have our special Trinity Kids Easter program right during the service, all right? So a great opportunity to invite family and friends, people that you've been sharing your faith with, to come out on Easter Sunday and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ along with us, right? And along with our kids. So just wanted to make you aware of all that. There's so much more going on and different ways that you can get involved and learn, grow, and serve here at Trinity. Check our website, trinityallenwood.com. We have all kinds of information on there, including a detailed sort of outline and explanation of the gospel. You can see a link for that right on our main page. Different ways that you can understand the gospel and share the essential elements of the gospel. It's a really important resource, so you can check that out. One more thing before we invite Marianne up. I don't know if she was here. I thought I saw her. She's going to come and share a testimony. So Claudia and I have an opportunity to get away for a couple of weeks, so we're going to take a winter vacation, and we're going back to Hawaii to see our kids. Most of you know that our oldest, Lauren, and her husband Ben live on Maui in Hawaii, and we have an opportunity to go to see them, and it was better to do it earlier this year than at the end of the year. And so we're going to be away for a couple of Sundays, and so we'll have, again, the Hoving Home Women next week and then Scott Schwartz the following week. But just wanted to make you aware of that, and if you need anything, just see one of the leaders here at church, Bruce, our elder, or the team of deacons. But we're just going and hoping to be able to get some sun and some warmth, and we'll try to bring some back for you. Although today is kind of a good precursor, right? Today is, we're kind of feeling good. What a difference a day makes, right? Because yesterday was rough, wasn't it? But today we got some sun and warmth, so we're going to hopefully enjoy some more of that. We all need a break now and then, right? To kind of recharge our batteries and get some of that vitamin D, right, that we've been missing all winter. And of course, to spend time with our family that lives so far away that we don't get to see very often. So we're thankful for that. So now I'd like to invite Marianne up, if you would come on up. And she was just willing to share for just a minute or two about, you can come on over here, we have a microphone for you. Her experience with our outreach last week to the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission. So come on up. Yeah. There you go.
I promise. Time. You and let that go. Good to have this.
We are, thanks for sharing, we are blessed to be able to have such a thriving missions ministry, and where more and more people are getting involved, stepping out of their comfort zone, and being able to serve in many different ways. So thank you again for being willing to go and then to share about what God was doing and what that meant to you. So hopefully that would encourage some of you to come out, and if you do choose to go for the first time, I will talk to Rashawn ahead of time. And just so you know, talk to him a bit. So thank you, brother. Always got the gift of encouragement, so thank you. We praise God. Yes, it was. So if we could, let's pray, and then we're going to open God's word together. Father, we thank you for your word, that it is alive, that it is active, that it speaks to us because it is you speaking to us. You have revealed yourself to us through your word, the living word, Jesus Christ, the word himself, and of course the written word, which itself is alive and active and working to change us and transform us if we would only read it and study it and meditate upon it. So that's what we desire to do now, Lord. And so speak to us, God, show us what you would have us learn and grow in this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That picture that you see up there of the player kneeling, his name is Herb Lusk. And Herb Lusk, as you can see, this is an old photo. He was a player for the Philadelphia Eagles. How many Eagles fans do we have here? We've got one over here, so we have a special prayer service afterwards for our Eagles fan. So I don't know if you remember that name, but Herb Lusk played for the Eagles for 3 years from, I think it was 75 to 78 or 76 to 79. And actually, he committed to only play for 3 years. Most people didn't know about it because then he had a calling to go into full-time ministry. So Herb Lusk left a very successful and lucrative career in the NFL playing for the Eagles to go into full-time ministry. And so he left and he went back and got his undergrad degree and his master's degree, and he took over leading a small congregation in inner city Philadelphia called Greater Exodus Church and the Greater Exodus Baptist Church. But Herb Lusk is known for being a very successful pastor, but he's also known for something else. This picture that you see was the first time that he did this, and actually the first time that any NFL player or athlete ever prayed or kneeled or thanked God for scoring or for winning a game. Herb Lusk was the first one to do that. And of course, he started a trend that continues today, and we see it in the NFL and throughout all sports when many players of faith will, after they score or they win a game, will look up to the heavens. They will thank God. Whether they score a touchdown or hit a home run or score a goal, they will give thanks to their God. And Herb Lusk was the first person to ever do that. But God called him to something greater, and he took this church in inner city Philly from 25 to over 2,000 in attendance in just a few years. He was a leader for decades in helping to cure inner city poverty. He led many organizations that helped the community, including the Philadelphia conference of what was called the International One Campaign. And this was in the late 90s and early 2000s. It was an international campaign to end extreme poverty in Africa. And he hosted the conference in Philadelphia one year. And he hosted along with a very famous musical artist. And I'll tell you about him in just a moment. Herb Lusk is such an interesting character, and he is a man that I got to meet and to know. My wife and I were first discipled in a small church up in Union, New Jersey, by a great man of God named Hank. And Hank was good friends with Herb Lusk. They went to seminary together. And they both at a seminary went and were called to different kinds of churches. But this one Sunday, it was May 16th, 2004, 20 years ago, actually, that our friend and mentor, Pastor Hank and his wife, invited us to attend Herb Lusk's church in downtown Philly. And so we went. I didn't know who he was, but we went. And this huge church of over 2,000 people right in downtown Philly, and we were the only two white people in the church. But praise God, we had the most amazing experience, the most amazing time of worship, and kind of like we have our time of fellowship during after the worship and their choir, and they had wonderful, awesome, powerful worship. Pastor Lusk asked that their regular attenders would get up and go greet any visitors. And so how did they know that we weren't regulars, you know? So I tell you, and Claudia is our witness, of course she was there and our kids were there, that that more than half the church got in line to come to our row, right, in the back row to greet us. And we got the warmest welcome and hugs and just loved every minute of it, and we felt so welcomed. And our friend Hank delivered the message that morning. And so as we were leaving, Hank and Herb asked us if we were interested in coming to an event later on that day, right in downtown Philly, that Herb was going to lead and to pray for, and our friend Hank, the pastor, was going to be there, he and his wife. But we had plans, and we said no, we couldn't stay, but it sounded good. And we didn't know who else was going to be there, what it was about. But, and so later on that evening, Pastor Hank called us and said, man, you missed it. We had such a great time, and Herb was awesome. And we met this guy who seems to be famous, and he was sitting right next to me at our table at the reception. And his name, I think you pronounce it, was Bono. And he's the leader of this band called U2. Have you ever heard of them? And of course, they were, Claudia and I, they were our favorite band of all time. And we were just sitting there staring at each other thinking, we could have sat at the table right next to U2 and Bono. But yet we said no. And so, well, God had other plans. I don't know what they were. I'm still sore about that. When I'll ask him when I get to heaven, you know. But that's the kind of guy that Herb Lusk was and the circles he traveled in. But yet, he did it all for the glory of God. He started this trend that continues today. Now, we don't know the hearts of every celebrity or player that is on the world stage that gives glory to God. We don't know exactly where their heart lies. However, they are doing something very public and getting attention and accolades from millions of fans for what they are doing on the stage or on the playing field, but they're also taking the opportunity to point back to God, to say, yes, I'm doing this, but your attention and all the glory should go to Him. Because ultimately, it's the motivation of the heart that matters to God. And any kind of attention that we may get in our profession or of leadership or in our community or in our families, what are we doing with that recognition? Are we doing things and getting accolades just for ourselves, or are we doing it to give glory to God? So these famous people are doing these things in public, but they're recognizing who should get the real attention for what they are doing and for their success. I'd like to now read our passage this morning. We are in Matthew 6, verses 1 to 8. It'll be up on the screen, but I would encourage you to turn to it in your Bible or on the app on your phone. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 8. Consider the example of Herb Lusk as you read along and listen to these words of Jesus as he continues his Sermon on the Mount. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. But truly, I say to you, that they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you and sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and our minds this morning. You see, Jesus continues this sermon. You know, we've been in the Jesus Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. It's chapters 5, 6, and 7. We finished chapter 5 last week where Jesus was giving all these examples from the Old Testament, remember? And he was saying, well, you've heard it said, and then he gave a law, like you've heard it said, do not commit murder. He said, but I say to you, so with a great authority, Jesus gives the true interpretation of that law and says, you've heard it said, do not commit murder, but I say to you, if you have hatred in your heart for another, that you're already guilty of that sin. And so Jesus continues in this part of his great discourse, his sermon, to continue to tell and to teach the disciples what he, the king, expects of the citizens of his coming kingdom. And so here he tells us that we are to not practice our righteousness before others so we can be noticed by them. See, Jesus is talking all about the standard of righteousness. You remember? You know, in chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus kind of gives the whole theme of his sermon. And he says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Remember that? So he was basically setting the standard to say, if you want to get into my kingdom, you're going to have to be more righteous than the Pharisees, who they looked up to and said, nobody could be more righteous than them. And Jesus would have said exactly. Because God's standard of righteousness and entrance into the kingdom of heaven is perfection. But see, we cannot attain that on our own, can we? And so that's why Christ had to die in our place, because he was the only one that was perfect, and that is perfect. He also said, and this was from last week's message, remember he said in verse 48, therefore you are perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Again, Jesus is saying, my Father's standard for entrance into heaven is perfect righteousness, and we cannot attain that on our own, not even the Pharisees. And so he was leading them to realize they couldn't do it on their own. They needed the Messiah, the Savior. That was Jesus coming to offer them the kingdom. So He is now warning them, saying, do not be like those religious leaders that you look up to so greatly. He said, beware of what they do, because they practice righteousness before others to be noticed by them. Otherwise, he says, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So you'll see him develop this idea that there are rewards for acting righteously in our faith in Christ. God does reward us, but here's the key. Do we want our rewards on earth because we get the accolades of others, or do we want our rewards to be heavenly rewards given to us by God? There's a stark difference, and that's really the sum of what Jesus is teaching today. So he's reminding his disciples what these Pharisees are actually doing. They're misusing and misapplying and misinterpreting the law because they're missing the heart of the law. Let's keep that in mind. Jesus is getting to the heart. He's saying everything they're doing is external. And it's all at the end because of pride. And he says their rewards will not be in the kingdom. It'll be here on earth. And so what does he say in verses 2 to 4? He gives the example. Now he gives two examples of this when he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before others. He gives two examples. He says about giving to the poor, and then he talks about praying, all right? The same principle in teaching, two different examples. So he says, so when you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you. You just picture the Pharisees doing that. Hey, I'm about to give. Bring out the trumpets so everybody will see, right? And so that's what he's saying. So when you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. Jesus is now calling those leaders hypocrites, as they do in the synagogues and in the streets, and so that, see, those are important words there. Do you see that on the third line in verse 2? So that they may be honored by men. See, that reveals their motivation. What's their intention and motivation? So that they would be honored by men. So they would get all of the glory and all of the attention and accolades. Jesus says, truly I say to you, I put this in parentheses, they have their reward in full. But see, that's not a good thing, church. That's a word of condemnation from Jesus. He's saying, okay, they want the attention, they want their rewards, they got it. They have their rewards in full already here on earth. No rewards are waiting for them in the kingdom. So again, making his listeners think, and hopefully making us take time to pause this morning, are we seeking the attention and the blessings and the rewards from others or from God? He says, those who act like the hypocrites, they already have their reward. Their reward is the praise of other people. He calls it being honored by men so that, that's their motivation. He calls them hypocrites because they're saying one thing, teaching one thing, and doing another. So what does Jesus say? He says in verse 3, but when you give to the poor, right? So now he's giving the positive. He first gives the negative. Now he says it in the positive light. When you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. The right hand, that right hand of blessing. When you're blessing others, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be done in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do you see the stark contrast there? And what does that mean? If he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, how is that even possible? I think what Jesus is trying to say here is, don't brag about it. Don't even keep track of it. How about this? He says, he's probably saying, give because the motivation is right in your heart, and give regularly, no matter what you give. How about you give more often? Maybe not necessarily more, but more often, so that it becomes less tempting to seek the praise of others, that it's a habit, that it's something that you do, and you're not even keeping track of it, so that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing, because you're not giving to keep track of it, and at the end of the year, be like, wow, look at how much I gave, you know? Because again, Jesus is concerned with the heart. And he says, don't you want your reward to be from your Father in heaven? And then, of course, he gives such a, again, if you're doing it wrong, it's a condemning teaching. But for those who are seeking to be righteous in the right way, he says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Because God sees what we do, right? That's a sobering reminder, but that shouldn't make us feel guilty or fearful. The fact that God sees what we're doing should bring us joy and peace if we are seeking after his will and being his obedient children and disciples. Amen? And that's the idea. Is it always practically the case? No, but that is what we should be seeking. So, give with humility. Give so that you're not keeping track of it. Give so that you're not doing it so others can see how much you are giving and how often you are giving. As Jesus is teaching the importance of the heart attitude and the motivation behind what it is that we're doing, our acts of righteousness. You know, it's been said before, and I agree, you cannot outgive God, right? So you might get, other people might be impressed. Wow, you gave that much? You do all this for God? Wow. If that's worth something to you, that's fine, but that's, you can't take that with you, as they say. And so the accolades and the attention we should seek should be coming from our Heavenly Father. It should come from a place of thanksgiving, right? We are not working to earn our salvation or to keep it or to prove it to anybody. We are simply performing acts of kindness and righteousness and being holy because he is holy. Why? Just as a response of a thankful heart to Jesus Christ, who did it all for us on the cross, right? It's even been said this way, that when we try to gain attention by giving, we're actually buying. We're buying others' approval. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says this, for God will bring, and listen, church, listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. See, all that we do, even as believers, will be judged one day. There's two different judgments, right? It's a sermon for another time, but believers, we will have a time of accounting. Let's not even call it maybe a judgment. We call it the Bema seat of Christ, the time where we meet Christ and he goes through all that we have done with our life in Jesus. Not before, of course. All that's been forgiven. What have we done with our life in Christ? And elsewhere it says, Paul outlines what that will look like on that day that we meet Jesus, and that our things that were done for righteousness' sake with the right heart attitude that will pass through the fire of testing by God himself. And it will pass through like silver, gold, and precious stone. But those things that we did for ourselves in a selfish way, not according to God's will be burned up. No rewards for those things that will not pass through and that will burn up like the chaff or like the wood, hay, and stubble. And so there are rewards in heaven. How do they all work? We don't know. God doesn't outline it, but yet we know that Jesus and his apostles taught us much about that we are very simply to seek the favor of God and to do things with a thankful heart. Amen? So then Jesus gives the same explanation with a different idea. So first he said, when you give to the poor, do it in secret. Don't be like the hypocrites. Then he talks about praying. So let's just stay here for a minute. He says, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, again, with the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues. Can you just picture that? Standing and praying in the synagogues and on the street corners, right? So that they may be seen by men. There it is again. Jesus is revealing their intention. Why are they doing this? To be seen by men, so that others can see, wow, how righteous and great and holy they are. Jesus says, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. There it is again. See, you're going to give like this, you're going to pray like this, they'll get their rewards, the attention from other people, they'll have it, but that's as far as it goes. we are to be different. See, that's what he's saying. When he's talking to the disciples, he's saying, this is what I expect from citizens of my coming kingdom, the kingdom that he came to offer first century Israel. Remember, that's what Matthew is all about. He's presenting Jesus as the king who's offering the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, this is what I expect from those who are following me, from the citizens of my kingdom. I will be a benevolent king, and you will be my citizens that I will care for, and here's what I expect from you. But again, it's not about just the outward actions. He's saying, where is your heart? That's what God is caring about. So he's saying, you are to be different from those hypocritical leaders. Sounds like what Paul says in Romans 12. Remember that? He says, no longer be conformed to this world, but what? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See that? So Paul is saying, don't let the world influence you. You influence the world. He says, don't let the things of this world, right, that are contrary to God. He says, don't let those things form you. He says, don't be conformed to the world. But instead, the opposite is to be transformed, to be made new by the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? By being in God's word. By reading God's word. So many of the issues that we have today, believers, personally, between us and God and between us and others as believers, is because we're not in his word. Because how are we going to get to know the heart of God and what he desires from us? And how are we going to learn these things, like Jesus is saying, focus on the heart and your heart attitude and your intentions? How are we going to know if we're not reading the word? That's how we get to know God. He has revealed himself to us. The God of the universe, right, has made us, and because of his great love for us, has decided to reveal his heart to us. And that is what we call the Bible. It is his written word, and we get to see the very heart of God. And so Jesus makes the point. We do these things in secret because God sees what is done in secret. Now, the caveat there, let's just make sure we realize, Jesus isn't condemning public giving where there might be records of it, or even public prayer. We can pray in public. So he's not condemning all public giving or prayer. He's not condemning Herb Lusk for praying and kneeling right there in front of millions of people on the stadium and on TV, but what he's saying is, where is your heart? What are you doing it for? Ultimately, that's between us and God, isn't it? So church, check your hearts. Check your hearts. Like, why are you doing the things you're doing, especially for God? Is it for the love from others, or is it for the love from our Heavenly Father? Who are we trying to impress? And finally, verses 7 and 8, he gives one more teaching about the prayer. He says, and when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. Now, what he's really referring to there is the pagans, or those who are not Jewish, those who are worshiping false gods, because often they would have a certain practice of just really loud, like repeating certain things to try to get the attention of their gods. Right? He says, don't be like them. Don't use meaningless repetition. Some of your versions might say vain repetition. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. That's what he's saying. They think that their gods are going to hear them the louder they are and the more they keep repeating those things. So he ends this by saying, do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask. So, it doesn't mean that we can't use repetition. He says, don't use meaningless repetition or vain repetition. We can sing songs or pray prayers that have repetition. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's saying, why are you doing it? If you're doing it for the wrong reasons, or it just becomes rote to you, or you're doing it to try to get an attention somehow, he says, that's meaningless repetition. You don't want to do that. Again, what's your motivation and your reasoning? And then finally he says, God already knows what you're going to pray for, what you already need. And some of you have probably asked this question before of yourself or others. Well, if God already knows, and we believe this to be true, what we're going to pray for, because God is all-knowing, why should we even pray? What's the purpose? Well, I say two things to that. One, we're commanded to pray. So one is just being obedient to God. We pray because we're commanded to. And we know it's good for us if God tells us to do it. But two, somehow in God's economy and his sovereignty, he works out his will through our prayers. Now, it doesn't mean that when we pray, we change God's mind or we change his heart. And there's power in prayer, of course, but it's God's powers because he tells us to do it. But somehow, God in his will, he works out what he is planning to do and what has already happened, right? He is planning that and he works that out through our prayer. So if he says to pray, we are to pray. But of course, as a part of that, when we pray, we get to talk to our God. We get to communicate with him. We read the word, we see what he's telling us, and we can pray and talk to the creator of the universe. And of course, that's only possible because Christ was obedient to death, even death on a cross. He did that to make a way for us to be reconciled to our God, our maker. So why should we pray? One, God tells us to pray. Two, it's good for us. And three, God works out his will through our prayers, so we are to be praying. And we can pray with expectation, because we should expect big things from a big God, but ultimately we pray as Jesus did in the garden. God, you know, Father, let this cup pass before me. He told God what his will was, what he wanted, but what did he say? But not my will, your will be done. Ultimately, that's our desire. So, what's our intentions? What's our heart? In Matthew 5:16, earlier, remember Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So is that a contradiction? I mean, there he's saying, yeah, let your light shine so others can see what you're doing. It's not a contradiction if your heart is in the right place, you see? So when Herb Lusk kneeled to pray, people that knew him knew that was sincere. Even went on to a very long and meaningful and faithful ministry to those who are hurting and preaching the word of God. So we are to have a heart of thanksgiving, thanking God for his goodness and his grace, for the salvation and new life in him, because God has sent us Jesus, our Redeemer. So as we close our service with communion and then with a song to leave with, consider these words, because as we take the elements and as we take the bread and the cup together, it is a powerful reminder that Jesus himself gave us on the night before he was betrayed of his death on the cross, of his sacrifice on our behalf. And this is for believers. If you're here with us this morning and you're searching, you're wanting to learn more about Jesus and you want to learn more about this God, then you can let this time pass and you can just sit quietly and pray and watch what's going on around you. But this is for believers. Jesus said this to his disciples, those who were his closest followers, and he said to do these things as often as you get together in remembrance of him. See, because his disciples sitting around the table with him that night, they didn't know it was about to happen, but of course Jesus did. They had the Passover meal and the Passover lamb right there. If only they would have seen that Jesus himself was about to become the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. So as you hear the music playing, take a few moments. There's no rush. Take a few moments between you and your God to reflect on what he has done for you and what it is that we're remembering. Consider how it is you're living your life for him and what is the condition of your heart, even as a believer. Is your heart attitude right these days? Are you leading in all things with a heart of thankfulness to your God for who he is and what he has done? So after you take time to just reflect between you and God while you hear the music play, when you're ready, again, no rush, you can get up and come and take a cup and a piece of bread, take both elements and return to your seat. You can come up front or there's one in the side there in the back. Once everybody has done that and is back in their seats, then we'll lead us in a taking of the elements together, and then we'll stand and sing our closing song. So take time with God now. night before he was betrayed, and Jesus took bread and he broke it. And after giving thanks, he said these words. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So church, let's take and eat together in remembrance of him. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This represents a new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." And we are reminded that whenever we take the bread or drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let's do this now, remembrance of him until he comes. Isaiah 44:6 says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God." Let's stand together and sing of that great Redeemer, Jesus Christ, promised so long ago. Let's pray. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Father, you get all the glory. We praise you, Lord, until we meet again. Go before us, Holy Spirit. May we take these words of yours to heart, that what you have given us, Father, is enough for us. And may our hearts be right before you, that we would go with a heart of thankfulness in all that we say and do. And we pray for the power to do it In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us, church. Go in peace and praise the Lord.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Is it coming up? Can you hear me?
He's out.